New Testament scripture is taken from the letter of James, and this you can find in the new portion, New Testament portion of your pew Bibles at page 229. We're reading from the chapter, first chapter, verses 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are just like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, they immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my mind and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, the sign out there says, be ye doers of the word, or be doers of the word. The be ye would be more the King James, the Old English. And you've heard it said that actions speak louder than words. How many times have you heard that? Well, there's this struggle that seems to be in our lives as Christians in, is it faith or is it works? Paul answers it emphatically. It is faith by which we are saved. It is our faith in Christ Jesus that saves us. That is our salvation. And there's nothing that we can do. Grace and our salvation is unmerited. If we could purchase it by doing something, saying something, then Christ would not have had to have gone to the cross. But it was because we could not do it that Christ goes to the cross. It's because we cannot do that, which is gain our salvation, that Christ, on that cross, paid our debt. And the wages of sin is death. And there's a sheet of paper up there that says, Ken Cleveland. And it decides where I'm going, where my eternity is going to be spent. And there's a little column down there that says, eternity in the presence of God. And there's a price tag. There's a price down on the bottom of it. And you can't really read the numbers because it's beyond reading. It's got so many zeros. We're not talking six figures. We're not talking seven figures. It's priceless. But you know what? instead of me having to pay that, there's this red stamp on it. And it says, paid in full. Jesus paid the price for my salvation. So there's nothing I can do to earn it. I can't. There's no deed, there's no amount of money, there's nothing I can do to earn me salvation. And some would say that James, because he's the brother of Jesus, and he's a Jew, and he's the head of the Christian Jewish church, or Jewish Christian, or Christian Jewish church in Jerusalem in that first century. And he speaks and he teaches about what Jesus had taught. And he wasn't one of the 12 disciples. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles. He wasn't Peter or James or John, though that James and John of Zebedee, but he's James, the brother of Jesus. And he's leading this first century church. And in this very, very short letter that some commentators say, you know, James is the Jewish person who's trying to tell us that we have to do things to earn our salvation, much like the law, and that was the, from Mosaic times, that's the Jewish tradition, was to follow their culture and to follow their tradition. That as long as they followed and adhered the law, then they were obedient to God. But what James tells them is that everything, this first verse starts with every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, two things in that one verse. These are gifts. Who's ever asked you to pay for a gift? If they've asked you to pay for a gift, then it's not a gift. I mean, if you've got to pay for it, is it a gift? Christmas. Can you imagine Christmas? Sitting there looking at the tree, and I've got this pile, I've got this stack of presents. And Dad's sitting over there saying, well, those are yours, but you have to pay for them. No. What father would ever do that? God is not giving us gifts and saying we have to pay for them. He's giving us gifts out of his generosity. God has given us, through Christ the Son, our salvation, and we can't earn it. But there are things that we can show to show and demonstrate that we enjoy, appreciate, and understand what that precious gift is. And we do that by giving to other people and doing for other people. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Now, I'm going to go back and cover this one because it's probably one of the toughest things for me. Let everyone be quick to listen. I think that's why we have two ears. Slow to speak. That's why we only have one mouth. Slow to anger. For our anger does not produce God's righteousness. What produces God's righteousness? Being obedient to God's law. Being obedient to what God wants us to do. That's what brings joy to God. I stand before you condemned of my own actions. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. This week, as this sermon, as this scripture has been rolling through my mind time and time again, over the littlest of things, I can't believe I did that. I dropped something or I spilled something. I'm mad at myself. That's anger. Even though it's difficult, even though it's an unreal expectation for us to be able to do all of what he's saying, we're supposed to try and make it a best effort. And when we fail and we fall short, some of us have loved ones who will bring us back. Gently. Or not. Depending on what the merits of the condition are. But this first piece here is we are to look at the gifts that God has already given us. And again, it's an activity. We're supposed to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Activities. Doers of the word. Because his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth. Remember last week, Ephesians 6:10, the first thing you put on is the belt of truth. The second part here is rid yourselves of all sordidness, rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Sordidness. It doesn't sound good. I mean, it's a big fancy word that opens up and describes all manner and fashion of what we do in our lives, whether it's saying something bad about somebody who just cut us off in traffic, or that hammer that missed the nail and hit our finger. I mean, it was the hammer's fault. It certainly wasn't mine. Either that or else it was the nail moving back and forth. Or name it. Any activity or any action that causes us to speak out of anger or to do something that's not helpful to another person. Oh, that's just too good to take it to pass up an opportunity for that. No, don't do it. Sordidness. This is not just a little and dirty things that happen in life that, you know, just are a normal thing of life. But when there are people out there that do things purposely to hurt and injure other people, why? Because it makes them feel better. It makes them appear larger in their own image of themselves. You know, you have to put somebody else down to lift yourself up. Sordidness is that thing that makes us so unclean that you can't get clean. It's called sin. Rank growth of wickedness. Doing the things that you know you should not be doing. But welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Now, the key here is it's the implanted word. Greater is he that is in me than that which is in the world. You know, we don't have to surrender to this sordidness. We don't have to give in to this rank growth of wickedness, because even though we are in the world, we're not to be of the world. We have a power that is in us, who God put in us. That is an overcomer. Verse 22. Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Now here's the other piece. There's a motive behind most of our activities. It's an ulterior motive, that it's a hidden motive. You're doing something, you're doing a good deed so that everybody else thinks you're doing great deeds and think, oh my, what a great and glorious person that person is. There's another motive to doing the right thing, and that's doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. It's still a motive. It's still a reason why you do it. So motives are not necessarily bad. It's when it's a hidden motive or an ulterior motive or a motive that I want to get in good graces with so-and-so because that means they'll hire me for the next job. Or, you know, my birthday's coming up. I'm going to be real nice. I like German chocolate cake. And if I'm really good. But we're supposed to be doers of what? Doers of the word. Not doers of just, you know, let's be kind and gentle and things like that, but doers of the word. Now that is, it predicates that you and I have to get into the word to find out what it is that Jesus wants us to do. And it's there at the very end at 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is that to care for orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. That's a large laundry list of things to do. Be doers of the word. Doers of the word. And the word is God. The word is Emmanuel. The word is Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and going away immediately forget what they're doing. When he says, be ye not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In other words, the word has been published in almost every language on the face of the earth. Now, not everybody has a copy of that in their native tongue, but a good number do. We're supposed to be not just hearers of the word. Oh, it's a great piece of advice. It's great teaching. It's a good instrument in dealing with our brothers and sisters or other people. But it's certainly not something that I'm going to pattern my entire life about. Wrong. And it's not the motive of, okay, I'm going to do this so I gain salvation. Paul says, we are saved by faith, saved by grace. James says, faith without works is like tinkling brass. There's no dichotomy. There's no difference there. James is not saying you have to do the good works or you don't have faith. He's saying because you have faith, then you'll do these things. So we're doers of the word, not because we want to earn salvation, because we know it's already paid for, it's paid in full, and there's just no way that you or I could pay that bill. There are too many zeros behind that. But we don't have to because it's already paid in full. So the first thing we do is we look at God's generous gift and we listen. You know, when we pray, we give our praise and adoration, that conversation with God, for it to be a conversation, you know what we have to do? I have to shut up once in a while. I know, that's hard to believe, right? But if I'm going to be able to listen to God speak, then there have to be those quiet moments. We need those in our lives. And then, when the word is given to us, whether it's we read it and we see it, or the opportunity avails ourselves, then we're supposed to be doers of it. So that we're not like that person who looks at themselves in the mirror, sees what they look like in the mirror, and then walks away and forget it. And then just go on about doing your life because, you know, that's, you know, kind of like doing our thing. That's what we do nowadays. The other piece is using the law as a set of things that we can do, and constraints and commandments, and this is a lifestyle, this is the way we do things. And, okay, if I do this, then I won't, as long as I do this, I'm okay. And when we worship, you know, the standard liturgy that we have for our worship has a number of things that we do. We pray, we say the right words, you know, our call to worship has the right words in it. Our affirmation of faith has the right words in it. We all stand and we sing the doxology. We do those things in the appropriate time, but you know what? It is more important to God that we're here in His house. It is more important to Christ and our salvation that we recognize that Jesus died for us, that this fellowship that we're part of is a fellowship of people who hurt, who need, who can help, and need help. We make God happy when we worship and not go through the motions. You've heard it said, are you standing on the promises or sitting on the premises? Are you in here just marking time? Are you in here because it's the thing to do on Sunday morning? It's 11 o'clock. Gee, golly whiz, we're supposed to be there. Yeah, you are supposed to be here. But be here because you need God. Be here because you want to be in a right relationship with God. Be here because you need God. And you find Him here. And you might find Him sitting next to you in the pew. In the eyes of someone who loves God, who needs God, someone who needs you to be that hand that reaches out and touches them. So we can all be doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word. And then our worship will not be one where all we're doing is going through the motions. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't allow us to just say, you know, I said earlier, it's paid in full. Jesus has already done it. You and I can't do anything for salvation. So let's just sit back and relax and wait. And when He comes back, hey, Lord, we're here. Take us with you. And He will. Look around you. How many brothers and sisters are there who needed a helping hand? That brother or sister that God put there so you could serve. Want to worship? We'll praise, we'll sing, we'll praise, we'll celebrate. We'll pray and we'll listen. But when the service is over and the doors are open, get out there and do something about your faith. Do something about Christ's power in your life. Do something for the people out there. Do something with your brothers and sisters. Do something. That when that day comes and we stand before Jesus and we come up to Him and He says, well met, good and faithful servant. Or, depart from me, for I know you not. It is truly our faith that's going to grant us that positive accolade when we come up to Jesus. But you know what? Let's bring as many people up there as we can. Let's help as many people as we can. John Wesley was, do all the good you can for all the people you can, for as long as you can, as often as you can. Be doers of the Word. Not just hearers. Be doers of the Word. By His grace and His glory, His power, His love and His mercy. Amen.